Hi, and welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Nick Harrison. Today I'm joined by Chuck Sterling.
Thanks, Nick.
Frequent visitor of the show. You were on here before. What was that episode about again?
Another time. We actually introduced Application Insights. It was actually during the Visual Studio launch. We had Brian Keller between us, who's out on paternity leave. Congratulations to Brian.
Yes, congratulations, Brian.
And we're taking a look at what is monitoring and production look like.
Okay.
And this was all Azure-based, so we actually had a lot of synergy with your guys' show.
Yep. And so check that show out if you haven't seen it yet. And this would be, what is this session about?
So we're actually talking about testing in production and actually doing load tests.
Okay.
So my team is a DevOps team. Yep. We actually do releases every week, and we push new features out every Monday. A lot of those features are not visible, so we're actually testing them while people are actually using the live product of Application Insights and Visual Studio Online. And I wanted to show people what tools are we using and what tools we made available back in November, specifically load test.
Yep.
A lot of people don't know about it. My job at Microsoft is actually to take feedback, and Application Insights is getting a lot of feedback, a lot of usage. I'm not seeing the same sort of channels and conversations with the load test product. And I want to make sure that my team, when they go from sprint to sprint, is actually building the features that you guys are asking for.
Right.
So that's my call to action for you guys.
So what channel is available for people that actually want to send some feedback on Cloud Load Test?
Great question. So we have Connect if it's a scratch and dent problem. If it's just a bug and it's not doing the right thing, go to Connect, connect.microsoft.com/Visual Studio. File a bug and we'll prioritize and get that knocked out, hopefully the next sprint.
Okay.
The ones I'm really looking for are the ones that I would prefer that you go to User Voice.
Yes.
So User Voice, visualstudio.uservoice.com.
Okay.
And we actually have a testing category, so please use the testing category and say, I would like it if, and then go out and finish that.
Right.
Those are the ones that I actually really revolve my job around, and I make sure that the team triages and looks at.
Okay.
So the test team probably uses that as the biggest part of their backlog rather than actually internal stakeholders.
Excellent. So the links for them will be down under this video you're watching right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so traditionally, load testing was somewhat a difficult problem for people doing it on-prem.
Right.
And you've made it a really easy story now. So what are we going to see? Let's jump into it.
So I've got a little application. You can see it.
No pun intended on the jump into it.
Jump into it. I'm hoping this is going to be my retirement plan. This is going to be a little game. We're going to make millions of dollars. I'm out of here. In order to make those millions of dollars, I need to make sure that I can actually scale it and a lot of people can use it.
Right.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to take you through the on-premise creation of a load test.
Okay.
And that's the part where it gets hard is actually scaling that out to lots of users because I would have to provision computers and whatnot. And in the day of the cloud, it just doesn't even sound right.
Right.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take that, make that into a cloud test or a cloud-based load test, scale it to as many as we want, show you how easy that is, and then maybe take a look at the diagnostics information that gets back to what Boris was talking about. Because Boris was showing you how to actually do debugging in the development phase. Well, this is debugging back in the production or testing phase.
Okay, excellent.
So, want to go ahead and get started?
Yeah, let's hop right in.
Let's hop right in. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is just go ahead and do a, I'll get my glasses, my grandpa glasses on here.
Very nice.
And add a new project. And in your test category, you'll see that, the reason I had Silverlight is we actually just added support for Silverlight 5 for our coded UI in our last sprint.
Okay.
So there's an announcement to the guys in Cloud Cover.
Excellent.
We just added that. So in your test category, you'll see that there is a web performance and load test.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and call this one our Cloud Cover test. And the first thing that we're going to get is we're going to see a recorder.
Okay.
And here it is.
Okay.
Now I'm going to go ahead and hit the record button. And I'm going to show you, or I'm going to start off right off the bat. Let's go ahead and close that. Going to Bing and seeing how we're doing in our SEO. So my application is called Phone Frog. It might help if I spell it right. And if you look, while I'm doing this, the traffic is getting traffic on the wire is getting pulled across and actually going ahead and said, this is what you're doing.
Okay.
And I want to make sure and note that this is actually looking at Bing on production. This isn't some emulator, some mock-up or some stage. And it's getting this traffic. Now at this point, you can see that my phone frog application isn't there yet. Right. Now, what I would probably do is go ahead and do a search term for my URL.
Okay.
And if I did it, maybe go ahead and flag that test or maybe fail it or do something okay. interesting. In this case, all I want to do is every Monday make sure that we haven't done a regression for performance.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and take a look at my application. And I happen to have it as the home page. Okay. And here it is. And we can go ahead and click on some of the buttons. And again, I just want to make sure that the application is as poppy from my next check-in as it was to the last one.
Okay.
At this point, I could go ahead and stop it. And I want to go ahead and rename it. Actually, I'm going to make two of these because what you would normally do in this at this point, Nick, is you're going to go ahead and record scenarios, the login scenario, the game acquisition, the game play scenario, the search for my term scenario, and you would actually have
multiple tests,
multiple web tests that correspond with those, and you actually would string these together.
Right.
Login might actually preface the purchase.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and choose OK. And we're going to make a copy. And what that dialog box, what that was doing, it was going out and figuring out all the parameters that I could have actually data bound to.
Okay.
So more often than not, you're not going to want to go out and replay Nick Harris. Yep. Nick Harris is logged in. What you're going to want to do is actually give it a CSV file and walk through every person in the United States.
Okay.
So I have a copy of the web test. And let's say that we're going to call this one Nick Login. No points for spelling. That's okay. I was never a very good speller. And this one might be game by.
Okay.
So now I've got these scenarios. Now what we want to do is simulate lots of people smashing into them.
Right.
Pretty easy. Going back into that Cloud Cover web performance test project and adding a brand new load test. And I actually would say that this is some of the nicest UI the team's done. This has been around for a while.
Yep.
And specifically built for the on-premise, so you're going to see some deltas I'm going to actually tell us about. But
So at this point, this is, you know, people may already have an inventory of web tests that they're running against their site. And we haven't done anything cloud-related at this point in time.
That's correct.
Yeah.
At this point, the entire product is assuming you are going to run an agent from your on-premise installation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good clarification. So this one, let's just say that this is the game place load test, and the next question is saying, how many users do I want to spin this up to?
Right.
You know, going out and making sure that every sprint or every deployment, 25 users can go out and not see any regressions is probably okay. I don't know that I want to have them all running all at the same time. Maybe we'll go ahead and start with one, and we'll go ahead, and every 10 seconds we will step it up one, et cetera, until we get to, like, well, in this case, 200. Maybe we don't go that high. I only have this one little server.
Okay.
Actually, it's an IaaS environment, but it's a small.
Okay.
The VM size is a small. So this is talking about how do I want to distribute my tests, and this is saying which web tests. Remember we talked about the scenarios that you'd string together.
All right.
And I want to go ahead and use the two, the game buy and the Nick login that we did.
Okay.
And I think the game buy is probably the more important for me.
Right.
So I want to make sure and run that one a lot more often. But I want to make sure that people are actually able to log in and get access to it while we do that. Go ahead and hitting finish. This is one of the assumptions that we talked about in on-premise product. The way that we simulate a LAN is using a device driver that binds to the Nic on your on-premise server.
Okay.
Since in the cloud, letting people install things at ring zero is a scary proposition, we actually will flag this and not allow you to make it as a load test, a cloud-based load test, if you've actually set that.
Okay.
So we're not going to change this. We're going to go ahead and leave it as LAN. What this is doing is this is just sending the header information across the wire. This is not spinning up a browser and running like the JavaScript does that browser.
So that's just the user agent?
That is just the user agent. Okay. So it's really important that you guys understand that we are not spinning up browsers to run these tests. It won't run the JavaScript, and it's just like Nick said, sending out that user agent.
Okay.
So, you know, I have a kind of a soft spot for Internet 7, so we're going to go ahead and say that most of my tests are running for that. Once again, this is assuming the on-premise experience where I'm going to go ahead and collect the performance counters from this machine or that machine or whatever the case is. Now, if you are running your cloud test from the cloud, almost certainly you are not going to have access to those machines from an outward looking or outward facing agent. So we are not going to add this, but you're gonna, if you looked at my video from Application Insights, you'll see that this is easy to collect,
right,
and we've integrated this into the cloud experience for load test.
Okay.
Okay. And run duration is 10 minutes. We're going to go ahead and say that that is okay. And we're going to finish this. So this concludes the on-premise demo that we've had for a while.
Yep.
Now, the next piece is...
I've actually used that before several years ago.
All right.
VS 2010.
So, and then you noticed that the hard part came at this point, because now it was like, okay, we need your machine, and this machine, and we need to buy five others.
Yeah.
Go install these agents, and then I'm going to add the controller. And this is the work that we took away.
Yeah.
And this is actually really subtle, super simple demo. And I want to make sure this is captured. So we're going to take a pause.
Okay.
And we're going to show this screen three or four times, because it's really, really subtle. It says, run these tests using local computer on the test controller.
Yep.
And you'll see that it's actually on this machine or this solution, I've already changed it to Visual Studio Online. So this is not the default. The default is local computer.
Okay.
So this is it. That's the demo, guys, is changing radio button.
Okay.
So make sure I get my money's worth. I'm going to go ahead and change it back to local and then back to cloud.
Yep.
And what this is going to do is it's going to spin up worker roles. For every 250 users by default, we're going to spin up another one.
Right.
So if I set up 750 users, how many worker roles am I going to spin up for you?
Three.
There you go.
There you go.
And we're going to tear those
down. Testing, I'm listening.
We're going to tear those down, and anything that you put in there, like that CSV file with all your people, is going to be gone.
Okay.
So we guarantee there will be no assets in the agent or the worker that we give you from anybody else.
Okay.
We guarantee that.
Excellent.
Now, the cost of that is we need to hydrate it from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do keep a pool of two by default already running.
Okay.
And then we need to actually allocate it to you.
Sure, you will deal with the request.
And then, once again, I want to make sure that I am all logged in. And to verify that, you might probably want to go into your Team Explorer and just see if I can take a look at something on Visual Studio Online.
Okay. Just making sure you're logged in with the right credentials. Verify that pipe is all hot and live. Okay.
At this point, I'm going to go ahead and open up my Frog application.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is warmed up. I've got my connections going. I created the Cloud Cover load test. Oh, it's called Load Test 1. Let's actually rename that as well. Come on. And we're going to open this up. At this point, knock on wood, what we're going to get is we're actually going to get a worker role, since we only have 25 as our max users. It's going to get spun up in Azure.
Okay.
The assets are going to get copied up there. In this case, it's two web tests.
Yep.
Normally, it would be two web tests plus your data file.
Right.
And then we're going to actually walk through that. So you can actually see who the request is made by.
Okay.
And we're going to start getting some live data as to how the run went.
Okay.
So while that's coming up, let's go ahead and take a look at Load Test Manager. And what I can also see is now part of the experience of using Visual Studio Online, I can take a look at all the web tests that were run, not just in the last 7 days. I can actually go ahead and specify you know, the duration, and I can also see what else is my team's doing.
Yep.
So I can see that I've actually been quite active on this. I work with Manas a lot, and he's actually been running web tests against my same Frog application.
Okay.
So if I go in here and I see things like, let's scroll over here, I can look at the status. A whole bunch of aborted.
Yep.
Obviously, I was having problems, and they only ran for a minute, and I aborted them.
Yep.
So I must have been seeing something in that real-time pane that caused me to go out and say, I'm not going to waste the time. Let's shut this stuff down, fix it, and get it working. And if I see my coworkers having a lot of that, especially right up until I start, or and if they've got things queued, I'll know that I probably should contact them before I actually get going.
Yep.
So the whole collaboration of Visual Studio Online is actually quite relevant. Easily displayed in a screen like this.
Right.
And that was the other problem with load test is, hey, did you get it to work? Are you using the rig? Are you using the environment? Because while I'm looking at a production, this game is live right now.
Right.
If you ran a load test the exact same time as me, it would impact our customers.
That's correct.
Unfortunately, we don't have like goal-based load balancing or goal-based load testing where I could go out and say, I want to actually drive this until I get a request per second lower than X and then taper off. So what we would do is we'd actually kept stepping up the count until we saw my request per second dropping off. And you wouldn't want to exceed that on a production system. because then your customers are going to get impacted for the rest of the environment. Okay, so let's go back and take a look at our load test. Didn't we kick one off? Should say in progress. Anyways, that's interesting. Okay. So the purple line, as you can see, is that user count. Remember how we stepped that up? And once it hits 25, looks like I may have messed up. Maybe it's 250. We actually should see it plateau off. What we're also taking a look at, let's scroll this down a little bit, is the request time, the average page time, the response time, the user load. Now, again, all we can give you in these screens is what is the agent getting in itself? What is the agent saying? Now, what we've added in the last sprint is this button called application.
Right.
Now, it says no component information has been configured.
Okay.
But it knows that it's connected to this environment. I don't know if you guys can see that in the screen or not, but hopefully Bob will zoom in for me.
Okay.
Now, if I go back to the load test definition, we also added this applications. We're going to add it in the wizard too, guys.
Okay, so what's that giving us, the applications? Yeah.
So in my last session I did with you, I showed you how to use application insights to go out and get like performance counters, exceptions, and whatnot.
Right.
What this is doing is it's going out and saying, I know that the Frog application in application insights is what we're load testing. I want to grab that performance data and put it in as part of my load test.
Okay.
So while everything might look good here, the CPU could be going crazy. Or we could be seeing exceptions. And what that really is telling you is that you have tons of capacity, but a crappy app.
Okay.
How do you fix it until we get the get this added to the wizard? You right-click, get performance data.
Okay.
And what this is going to do is it's going to take a look at that AI demo account. It's going to enumerate all of the components that we've got registered. And in this case, it's called Frog. I scrolled too far. Frog, I haven't scrolled far enough this time.
There it is.
And we're going to go ahead and kick off another one of these load tests. And what we can do, while this is spinning up, and you'll see that this, where's our in progress one keeps disappearing. What you're going to see is we're going to have metrics shown up on this graph now, now that we've made that setting.
So you can really start now seeing, you know, as you're loading the system, you can see KPIs from that particular server or, you know, web server or whatever you're hitting. And
you can see the metrics. Yeah.
What's happening to that load.
So, you know, I'll give you 10 guesses as to what that spike was last night.
Load test.
That was a load test.
Everyone went and started using it.
That's right. No, that was just me. Okay. I didn't have a big increase in customers. Okay. And what you'll see here is you'll see that there was actually
point out here
there you go. Just a little tiny bit of a spike. Okay. Now, if you hit the refresh button, I am guessing
this one.
Yeah, that little tiny spike is actually going to go out and start zooming up.
Okay.
And we'll come back and take a look at it. And if you haven't taken a look at application insights or the other video, let's go ahead and give you a real quick demonstration of what kind of stuff we're saying. Obviously, I see my response time distribution, my exceptions, etc. Yep. Probably what people are going to key on right off the bat is the top 10 slowest requests by count. And in this case, you'll see that I now have 116 of these. Before I ran that load test last night, I only had 36. So that means I know that I caused 80 or whatever the delta is by my load test.
Okay.
A slow request is defined by anything that takes more than 5 seconds at the method level call.
Okay.
And I can go ahead and click on this. This is going to take me into my diagnostics events page.
Okay.
I could go ahead and select one of these. In this case, you can see that there's obviously some bad SQL that I've thrown in there.
All right.
Let's wait for this to load up. And what we will do is we will open up the latest. And you'll see that I get a web experience where if I was in operations, I could go ahead and take a look at all this information. I can get my my call stack right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically they would go out and say, here's the problem. And I can even get a resource view of this. A lot of times you'll see not just the fact that it's the slowest, but really often you'll actually see something like this. Not only is it slowest, you'll get multiple calls.
Yep.
In this case, I've got 6 web service calls that I'm making. Mm. But they're not taking a long time. They're actually taking very little time.
Yep.
But that SQL call is killing us. Now, imagine if we'd actually accidentally put it in a loop or something.
Yep.
Now, as a developer, I would take a look at this and say, I need to debug this. I need to actually see the step after it. What project it is, what change set was it in? So we've actually gone ahead and enhanced IntelliTrace to know about change sets from Application Insights.
Okay.
So what it's saying is I can go ahead and open up that change set. So now in this case, it looks like it doesn't have a deployment marker. So I need to actually add a deployment marker with the change set information.
Right.
I've got blog posts, it's really easy, and we're actually going to make it on by default.
Okay.
So in this case, it doesn't know about the change set, but normally I would have opened this change set. Now in this case, I already have the change set open, right?
So the key thing that's giving you there is essentially an ability to go from, you've created a load test, that's collected some KPIs, and you can see, you know, what your slow or your bottlenecks are through your application source code. Not just source code, but also SQL in that case you're showing us there. And then from that, you can link directly back from Application Insights to the change set in source control that has the code that was
executed. Not just the change set, the line of code in the change set.
Right.
As long as your symbols line up, and then you can go out and click on this, which says debug call. That would give me a hot path experience. If I was just in an exception, I wouldn't see a hot path. I would actually see the line with the exception.
Okay.
And here you see that I am now sitting on the line of code that was that slow call. Actually, I'm sitting at the top of that stack in this case.
Yep.
But I could hit F10 and start walking through it.
Yeah.
Even though in this case, it was a slow call, not an exception, I made 8 hours ago.
Okay, and because you've got IntelliTrace, you can see the actual values of the parameters that were passed, etc.
That's right.
Okay, excellent.
So,
makes debugging easy.
It should. And now let's go back in, and hopefully we can actually see those spikes that we were talking about. And now what I would also start correlating this data with, you can see
we're getting it.
What's also kind of interesting about this view is I can see my dependencies that in this particular line, the dependency is listed in these stack diagrams.
Right.
And if we scroll down just a little tiny bit, can I scroll down with here?
Yep.
You can see that it was actually a call to the master database with that Cartesian join.
Yep.
And normally what I see in this view is all of my dependencies are where my time is being spent.
Okay.
And I can actually see which one is the worst offender. So I would actually expect to see a lot of them all the way through.
Okay.
So, you know, Nick, that actually is what I wanted to show you.
Okay.
The call to action, again, is go out, download Visual Studio Trial.
Yep.
We give you 15,000 user minutes for free.
Okay.
So if you start your Visual Studio Online account, you'll see that... where's my quotas? Oh, here it is, resource usage.
Right.
Now, in my case, I've got 2 million because I have access to the database where you set the quotas.
Okay.
They should have never given me access to that. I think 2 million is the most I could actually use in a month, I calculated one time. But for you guys, you actually see that yours says 15,000.
Okay, that's anyone?
That's everybody that creates one, and it's free.
Yeah.
Like AIR, right?
Yep.
Now, you need to have Visual Studio Ultimate to do this, so download the trial.
Right.
And then go out, file new web performance tests, record you hitting your favorite website, built in Azure, of course.
Yep.
And every time you do a new release, go out and run a load test for 10, 15 minutes with 25 users, making sure that it's still as performant as it is today, as it was yesterday and last week and last spring.
Awesome. So I guess one of the key things to mention there as well is you did say go and run it against your Azure workloads, being in websites or whatnot, but because it's a cloud load test, basically you can hit any public endpoint with that. So if you've got an on-prem data center and you have something hosted there, you can actually utilize this as a means to load test that resource as well.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the reason I'm grinning is I actually got a call from the Bing team.
Okay.
Chuck, we're seeing these, they call them drunk requests.
Right.
We're seeing these drunk requests coming from IP addresses that you own.
Okay.
What's a drunk request?
Yeah.
That's somebody that's going out and hitting the web page and then throwing away the results.
Okay.
I'm like, was it for like 10,000 people for 6 hours on Thursday? Yeah. It's like, I have no idea where that came from, Buzz.
Okay.
Obviously, it was me looking at some data mining stuff.
Yeah.
I was running some load tests.
Okay.
And their ops team were taking a look at it and they thought they were getting a a denial of service attack.
Okay.
So anyways, you with great power comes great responsibility.
That's right.
And absolutely, you can go out and run it against anything you want.
Yeah.
And we give you 15,000 V user minutes. So what's a V user minute? I guess that kind of begs is, we actually set our load test up to be 25 users.
Okay.
For 10 minutes.
Right.
No, what's 25 times 10?
250.
250. So we use 250 V user minutes of our 15,000.
Okay.
So we have, you know, 13,050 and change. So again, enough to actually handle you looking at your sprints for a while for free.
And is that per month or just?
It is per month.
Excellent.
Yeah, we reset that.
Okay, so you could basically run, you know, in whatever combination you want, but if you wanted to run a 15,000 user load test
for one,
for
minute.
1 minute, you could do that every month.
You could do that, yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know if that would be the best practice that I would prescribe. actually, let's take about this. One of the limits that I didn't talk about is the number of agents. Now, we do throttle the number of agents to 20.
Right.
So if you ran it for 15,000, you'd be running about 7,000, whatever that works out to be, per agent. Now, you need to make sure that the web test that you recorded, our agents can handle 7,000. There are clearly web tests that would have no problem being run. One agent could run 7,000 users.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the Bing test that I was running that night was one agent running 10,000 users. That was one of the tests. But there are also many, many examples of large data loads, some processing on the back end, that you would actually saturate a agent at 250.
Okay.
So we err on the conservative side, make sure that you're never going to saturate our agent.
Okay.
But this is something that you, as the owner of your load test, you need to make sure that you don't put too many users in for our agents.
Right.
If you see our agent, matter of fact, one of the KPIs we give you is the CPU count for the agent.
Okay.
If you start seeing that hitting that 80 and 90, add another agent. So in the definition of your load test, you'll see that
F4,
there is a agent count.
Okay, I see that.
The zero means for every 250 users, we're incremented by one up to up to 20.
Okay.
But if I want to go ahead and say, I want to have 20 agents right off the bat, we will give that to you as long as you have at least 25 users per agent.
Okay.
So if I only had 25 users and I asked for 20 agents, I'm only going to get one.
Okay.
If I had 50 and I asked for 20, I'm going to get two. There's some algorithms there. Yep. I've got it on blogs. We've got it listed on aka.ms/loadTFS.
Okay.
Also on the blog, or the bottom of that video, I'll make sure you get you those two links. Otherwise, again, go out and use it. It's a free service. If you're not taking advantage of that free quota, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
And then to get a free copy of Visual Studio Trial is, let's just show you that real quick.
Certainly very generous. 15,000 user minutes a month.
You know, I would like to think so. Again, the engineering side of the house, our primary objective is to make sure that we're getting the feedback. So from sprint to sprint, we're building the features that you guys need.
Okay.
So I don't know if you guys saw that. I went through that really fast.
Yeah.
I went to visualstudio.com.
Right.
I clicked on the green box, and the green box is going to give me the download for Visual Studio Ultimate. Now, if I want to, if I haven't got a Visual Studio Online account, I click the purple box.
Okay.
And it's going to go out, and normally it would ask me what URL.
Okay.
So if you don't have one, Nick Harris, you should grab nickharris.visualstudio.com. Yep. There's about a million of them, so a lot of the good names are still available.
Okay, excellent. I'll have to make sure I do that before someone tries to sell it back to me.
I don't know what we're going to do about squatting. I'm sure Brian Harry's got that figured out.
Okay, excellent. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Chuck.
That I appreciate
was awesome.
You having me. All right, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you for joining.